Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
But for all of us who are in Christ, now, just so you know, I haven't been up for a while, and last year was what last year was, and so we're just going to pull and push a little bit. I'm going to find my mojo again, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, but how many of you know that we are in Christ? How many of you are in Christ? Give me a wave, you are in Christ. You know I talk to you a lot, don't I? And the reason I talk to you a lot is because I haven't come to talk to you. I want us to engage in a conversation. And so, how many of you are in Christ? All right. You know that if you are in Christ, you have an anointing from the Holy One. The Holy One has already given you an anointing, and it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, shatters the yoke, smashes the yoke. It's the anointing. It's not anything else. How many of you love the worship today, this morning, the praise and worship? Oh, my Lord. As in, I've got to tell you, worship team, all you guys and girls, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That we, yeah, you can give them, say, yeah, come on. Thank you that you create such a platform that we can come. I love it. But how many of you know the worship by itself is not enough? And in some ways, you know, maybe this might mess with some of you. And even as it's coming out of my mouth, I sort of agree with it, sort of don't agree with it. Even the word by itself, if there's no revelation connected to it, it's actually not, it's like, but when you have an anointing on the word, when you have an anointing on the worship, how many of you know it's in that place that things shatter, things break, people get set free? How many of you are ready to be set free today? How many of you need to be set free today? As in, many of us are in places and spaces where we need a move of God, that God would move in our lives and in our hearts, that we might step into all that God has got for us. And if this is true, if it's the anointing that breaks the yoke and sets the captives free, can I ask you today, just how mindful are you? Just how desperate are we to embrace and walk and live in the fullness of the anointing of God? In the fullness. Not partially, not part thereof, but in the fullness thereof. Personally, I think these are great days and ought to be the days that we are desperate for God's presence and His anointing in our lives. Many of us are aware of a story, because I've told it many times before, of when I was a young fellow. That's a long time ago. That's right, I turned 27 again. I think this is the 32nd time I've turned 27. How many, it's like some of you think that's not possible. In God, all things are possible. Praise God. Amen. So this is the 32nd time I've turned 27, and it's going to be awesome tomorrow. We're going to eat steak. Praise God for cows. How many of you know God is not a vegetarian? All right. Yeah, so we're going to have a good time tomorrow. But when I was a young guy, I reckon I probably would have been 12, maybe 11 years of age. I was out canoeing with my dad, and we used to canoe the rivers around Albury. We were going around this bend, and if you ever turn upside down when you're out canoeing, you do not want to end up under the willows. You can end up anywhere, but don't go under the willows, because under the willows, there's all sorts of root systems, and if you get stuck in those, you're going to be in trouble. Well, there was a day that we were out canoeing. The canoe went upside down, and sure enough, I got swept under the branches of the willows, and under I went, under this root system. And I got to tell you, when I was down there, because the pressure of the water is pushing through the river, and I was pinned up against this big root that was hanging out from the soil, from the side of the bank, and as I was there, and every now and again, I could just get my head just above water to grab some air, then I'd be back under, so the water's going like that, so when it's coming through, and then under I'd go. I could tell you there was nothing I wanted more in that moment than to breathe. Just breathe. I just wanted to breathe. Friends, you know what I think? I think that's how we ought to be when it comes to the anointing. I think how we should be when it comes to the presence of God. That no matter what's going on in life, and sometimes there's good things and sometimes there's bad things, sometimes it feels like we're on the top of the mountaintops, sometimes it feels like we're squashed and we're losing our breath and we can't breathe and we're about to drown. When we're in that place, how many of you know we need to breathe in the presence of God? We need to hunger, we need to thirst, we need to be desperate for the anointing of God. We should hunger for His presence. And long for an ever-increasing anointing that we might be made ready for all that He has got for us. How many of you know God has got so much for you in 2024? Chapter 2, yes, it begins with you, but actually it began with God. And God has got a plan for you. And God has got a purpose for you. And we need to be hungry and desperate for his presence and that anointing that we might be made ready for all that he has for us. Do you ever feel like you are stuck, like I was under that water? Do you ever feel like you're stuck? Feel like you're not the person that you used to be, but neither are you the person that you desire to be. Anybody else, or is it just me? Not there. Thank God I'm not there. But neither am I the person I want to be. Friends, if you're stuck, it's the anointing that has the power. It's the anointing that has the power to set you free. The children of Israel, God's children, they'd left Egypt and for 40 years they wandered aimlessly around in the wilderness. They're wandering. Is there anybody here wandering and wondering? Like, I know where I'm meant to be. I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where I desire to be. This was where the children of Israel were at. They were meant to, this was never God's plan. They were meant to leave Egypt and have a short 8-day journey into the promised land, into the promises of God. That's the way it was meant to be, but that's not how it was. It wasn't that way because of their unbelief. They got stuck because of their unbelief. What did Jesus say? According to your faith will be done to you. That's why scripture says only believe. We need to believe the promises of God. We need to align our lives with the promises of God and begin to walk into all the fullness of God. There are so many stories in the Bible that really are just like this story of the children of Israel, where men and women set out on a journey that was the journey they were meant to walk in God, but along the way, because of unbelief, because of doubt, because of this, because of that, they got sidetracked and ended up getting stuck under a branch. But the Bible also says the righteous shall live by faith. I like that. So yeah, they got all these stories where men and women didn't quite get it right, but the righteous, are there any righteous men and women in the house today? The righteous shall live by faith. Thank you for the 29 of you. The righteous shall live by
faith.
The righteous shall live by faith. That's what it says in Galatians 3:11. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. How many of you are ready to be filled? For they shall. For they shall. All right. Blessed are those who hunger. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be. How many of you are believing for that in 2024? That you are going to be filled. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And as for you, be strong and do not give up for your work. Praise God. How many of you know it's good to work? For your work will be rewarded. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 7. Isn't it true that we live by faith? And we hunger and we thirst for righteousness, for we believe that if we work, and I say if, because there's a lot of people that believe but don't necessarily go to work, but we believe that if we work, we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many of you are alive this morning? You guys are a hard crowd. How many of you think the person beside you has a pulse? How many of you think they smell like they have a pulse? That should be hopefully every hand, because otherwise, all right. So the reality is we go to work. We live by faith because we believe that as a result, we're going to see what we're believing for. But friends, the truth is we can live by faith. We can hunger and thirst for righteousness. We can work our tails off. But if there's no anointing, if you're not anointed, if our lives are not anointed, how many of you know we can become dry and stale? How many of you have done, you know, it's like doing time. How many of you have done time in church that was dry and stale? Dry and stale. You know, sometimes, I haven't heard this for years, but whatever. People, you know, they come and they say, I didn't get anything out of church this morning. I love it. I love it. You know what it actually says? It says more about them than church. As in, I can be in here by myself and have a great time. As in, I love it when you're here. It's better when you're here. But I don't need you to have an encounter with God. Where brothers and sisters, where two or three dwell together, that's where God dwells. So when I come into church, I'm not looking for you to somehow make my encounter with God better. I come for an encounter with God. So when people come and they say, I didn't get anything out of church, I'm like, well, what's wrong with you? I didn't get anything out of worship. Well, it wasn't for you. It's interesting. I didn't get anything out of praise and worship this morning. What you're meaning is you didn't feel goosebumps. Didn't feel goosebumps. I don't feel goosebumps all the time. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I love the presence of God. Sometimes I feel it, sometimes I don't. But I don't come to worship God so I feel good. I come to worship God because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm hungering after him. I need to have an encounter with God. Anybody else here need to have an encounter with God? So here we are. Dry and stale isn't about so many things, but it is about some things. When you're anointed and you're walking and living and dwelling in the anointing, you won't feel dry and stale. Church, it's the anointing that breaks yoke and releases the fragrance of heaven into our lives and into our circumstances. How many of you can remember the story of Jacob? Give me a wave. You know the story of Jacob. Can I encourage you, if you're not a Bible person, start this year in the Bible. You got to get into the Bible because the Bible is living bread. It's a living word of God. So the story of Jacob. Jacob was a man just like you and I. He was just a guy. He knew the goodness of God and he'd received the blessing of his father. But Jacob was also a hustler. Do we have any hustlers? No, when I say Jacob was also a hustler who was trying to achieve the fullness of life in his own strength. Now, I don't need to ask the question to know that many of you are doing that. I don't need to go into a confessional box to tell anybody that in my own life, I too have done that. Yes, I'm looking for God, but I'm going to work it. I'm looking for God to move, but I'm going to try and make some things happen over here. It's interesting at the moment as a vision team, we've got some things happening which are so far beyond us. It's like, what is going on? We need the what is going on factor of God in our life. Yes, we want the blessing of God, but we don't want to try and make stuff happen to accomplish that which God is trying to bring forth in our life. He was a man that was trying to bring it forth in his own strength. As a result, he got blessed. I love the fact that Jacob was blessed by his father in the natural, and there was a blessing upon his life, no doubt about that. He got blessed. But he also ended up with a brother who wanted to beat the snot out of him. How many of you know snot is a Greek word? Beat his brains in. That's what he wanted to do. Amongst other things, he wanted to come after his brother. So Jacob runs for his life. Have we got anybody here that's ever run from God? Give me a wave if you've ever run from God. I got to tell you, I ran from God. I remember when I was 21 years of age, 22 years of age, and I was running from God. I'd grown up in the church, but I wasn't of the church. I really didn't want to know God or his people anymore, all the Jesus freaks that were everywhere. So I started running from God, and I went on a pub crawl from Melbourne to Cairns and back. You know what was bizarre? I would go to pubs and sit in the pub, and the bartender would start witnessing to me and telling me about Jesus. And I'm like, I would look around thinking I'm on candid camera or something, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I wonder if heaven has a candid camera that just sets us up. And so I'd be in bars for all the wrong reasons, and here are bartenders telling me about the Lord. And then Harry would come and sit beside me, and the bartender would say to Harry, Harry, why don't you invite Shane to our small group? And I'm like, leave me alone. How many of you know when God starts chasing you, you can run. You can run. Can I encourage you, if you're running, just give up. If you're running, just give up. Many of us in this room know what it is to run. You can run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. You ain't no gingerbread man, and the Holy Spirit's faster than you. He'll get to where you're going before you even leave. He's there. He's waiting for you. He's going to do a number on you, and you're going to live the life that he has got for you. So just give up. Give up. He is this guy called Jacob. He's on the run. He's on the run, and he encounters God along the way. Most of us in this room, and many of you that are watching online today, you've encountered God along the way. I have no doubt all over this room today, there are men and women, you've encountered God along the way, but you're still running. You encountered God along the way, but you're still running. His man Jacob, he's running, and he encounters God. He has a revelation. Many of you have a revelation. Can I ask you today, what are you doing with the revelation God has given to you? You already have a revelation. It's interesting, you know, why when we have the revelation, don't we just stop in our tracks? Why don't we surrender to God? Why don't we give God everything? That's not what happened to Jacob. Genesis 28 from verse 11 says, when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth and its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you. Friends, can I say to you today, God is with you. God is with you. God is for you. God is for you. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome! How many of you know that's exactly how he said it? If you look it up in Hebrew, you'll see it like that. As in, some people say it like, awesome. But that would not be the way he said it, because he's had a revelation of how awesome. How awesome. How
awesome.
How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar, not a pillow because it was under his head, but no, a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. How many of you know that's not law, that's love right there? That's his love commitment back to God. So Jacob has this amazing revelation about the Lord and his house, but then he just keeps on running. He just keeps on running. I think it's really interesting that so many of us, because we've grown up and we're used to doing what we do, many of you are in the habit of running. You just run. You run. When things get tough, you run. When you're in a marriage and it gets tough, you run. When you're in a family, it gets tough, you run. When you're in business and it gets tough, you run. When you're in a church and it gets tough, you run. When it's in work, it's like wherever it be, you run. Friends, can I encourage you today? Stop running. If you have a revelation of Christ, if you have a revelation of the kingdom, can I encourage you today? Stop running. Once again, he runs, and once again, he finds himself in a place of blessing, partially because of God's favor, and partially because of his hustling. As I've said, he's a hustler. That's what he does. That's the only thing he knows. So he just keeps on doing. He hasn't yet worked out. He can actually trust God. Friends, you can trust God. If there's one thing I've discovered over the last 12 months, praise God, many of you would be aware, I wasn't here to receive a present last year. I thought I would have got a double portion today because I wasn't here last year, but whatever. If there's one thing I've worked out through this last 12-month period is we can trust God. You can trust God. You'll have good times, you'll have hard times, but we can trust God. Jacob finds the blessing of God coming, and but as I said, half because of father's blessing, half because he was a hustler. So now he finds himself in trouble with the in-laws because he's reaching into their profits. But in returning home, he has to face a brother from whom he stole the birthright. In Genesis chapter 31, verse 13, it says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Friends, can I encourage you? God never forgets the vows you make to him. Neither should we. Neither should we. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. You know what I believe? I honestly believe there are men and women all over this room today. God is calling you to come home. Go back. Some of you are running, running, running. You're just in a habit of running. Habit of running, trying to work it out yourself. Work it out yourself. Listen to the word of the Lord. It's time to pick up, go back. Go back to where you encountered God. Go back to your first love. Go back. Go back. You got to make a choice here. As in, I understand years have gone by. Time has gone by. And yeah, you've been blessed, and half because of your strengths and half because of God's blessing and whatever the case may be. But there are men and women all over this room. As you step into chapter 2, you need to recognize you need to turn back now. You need to go back to where God was. Where is God? Where was God when you last encountered him? Go back to where you made your vows. Go back to where you encountered God in that holy place. And that's exactly what Jacob does. In Genesis chapter 32, as the worship team come, Genesis 32 from verse 22, it says, but during the night, Jacob got up and sent his two wives, two concubines, and 11 sons across the Jabbok River. And we wonder why this guy's got trouble in his life. Or double blessing, I'm not too sure. Anyway, I'll leave it there before I get myself in trouble. Thank you very much. After they were on the other side, he sent over all his possessions. All right, so you've got to think about what's happening here. For those of you who don't know the story, he's going back to face his brother. His brother and many men are coming. So he sends the girls out first. Sends the girls out. He says, send the girls, send the kids. Now I'm sending my possessions. And I say, have you ever felt edgy in God where it's like, you know you got to do this, but you don't want to. You know you have to step, but you don't want to. I got a feeling there's a little bit of what this man's going through as he's about to have an encounter with God. It's like, send the wife out, send the concubine, send the kids, send the possessions. So let's get as much between whatever's going to happen here. And I'm just trying to buy time here. And after they were on the other side, he sent all his possessions. And this left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until dawn. A man just came out of nowhere. How many of you know it was the angel of the Lord? It was the presence of God. It was God himself. Comes and he wrestles with Jacob. When the man saw that he couldn't win the match, he struck. I think that's really interesting. The man, so he's wrestling the Lord, but Jacob, he ain't letting go. He's hanging on for dear life. Like his whole life depends on getting the breakthrough here. You know, this ain't in the notes. There was days last year, it's like, God, if you don't turn up, I don't know that I even want to live anymore. But how many of you know when you get to that place and you're so desperate, God will always turn up. Jacob has been running all of his life and he has some revelation of God, but he's still wrestling with his flesh. But he knows what he wants. He wants God. More than anything else, he wants God. He wants to lay hold of him and he doesn't want to let him go. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and he wrestled with him until dawn. When the man saw that he couldn't win the match, he struck Jacob's hip and knocked it out of joint at the socket. Then the man said, let me go, for it is dawn. So the Lord's saying to Jacob, let me go. You've got to let me go. I've been wrestling with you all night. It's like this is getting crazy in here. But Jacob panted because he's exhausted. Many of us have been exhausted, are exhausted, were exhausted. He's panted. I will not let you go unless you bless me. I'm not going to let you go, God. I'm not going to let you go, Lord. Not until you bless me. I need your blessing on my life. What is your name? The man asked. He replied, Jacob. Your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. It is now Israel, because you have struggled with both God and men and have won. I like that. I like that. God is very aware of our lives. What is your name? Jacob asked him. Why do you ask? The man replied. It's my funny sense of humor. I'm sorry. So the Lord says to Jacob, what's your name? Jacob says, my name's Jacob. Then Jacob says, what's your name? He goes, what's it to do with you? Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named that place Peniel, face of God. For he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. The sun rose as he left Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. That is why even to today, the people of Israel don't eat meat from near the hip in memory of what happened that night. Jacob was so desperate to be blessed by God, that when the opportunity came, he wouldn't let God go. It's like he could have just walked away, but he's like, no, I'm not going to let God go. I'm just going to hang on. I'm going to hang on. I'm going to hang on. I'm going to hang on. We used to have bull terriers when we got married. I love a bull terrier. A bull terrier, when it latches on, it ain't letting go. There is a way to get it to let go, but we won't go into that today. It's like that when that dog is on, it is on. We need to be like that with God. When we're on, we're not going to let you go, God, unless you bless me. And Jacob was so blessed that God even changed his name. From Jacob, which means usurper, which is exactly what Jacob was, a supplanter, to circumvent or overreach, to Israel, which has meanings that include perseverance, contends, one who struggles or wrestles with God. So our canoe, it turned upside down. There as I pinned under this branch and just trying to get any air I could. And I'm thinking to myself, I couldn't, because of the force of the water, I just couldn't get free of it. And down my leg, like my legs were just pinned into all these branches and root system. And then out of nowhere, like through the water, boom, I got my eyes open. Like I can see a shadow up there, comes my dad's hand. My dad's hand comes in and grabs my hand. And then my dad ended up sitting on a branch and he pushes me off the branch with his legs to get me out enough so he could pull me up. And I came out. And when I came out, I got to tell you, it was like, and away we went. Some of you need the anointing like that. I want to be filled with your presence, Lord. I want to be filled. I want to be anointed. I want to be made ready for this day.